Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for just your presence here this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, for drawing us all here. Lord, for drawing our spirits to come and hear from you, Lord, and you alone, Lord. This is your stage and you take it, God. These are your words and this is your study, God, and it belongs to you, Lord, that it may bear fruit in season and grow, God. That it may bear fruit in the hearts and in the lives and the souls of the women that come to be nourished at the well this morning. Lord, we bring our pots, God. We bring them empty because we're so in need of a deeper water this morning, God. This world offers us so much shallow water, Lord, and we need a deep drink, Father. A deep drink of your presence, a deep drink of your spirit, God. Fill us up. Fill us up. Send us off like the woman at the well, Lord. Send us off that we may be filled to capacity, Lord, to share with others and turn cities around for your name and for your glory, God. This can only be done with a personal encounter with you and your presence. Father, it is so true that you have bread that we know not of, God. And we want to taste and see that you are good this morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we leave our baggage at the door. We leave our baggage, we leave our circumstances, we leave our fears, we leave our doubts, we leave our illnesses, we leave our just everything that just stirs in our hearts all the time and takes space and distracts us from your presence, God. We leave those things behind, Lord, that we may hear the truth and that the truth would set us free this morning. Lord, I pray for brokenness to come into this place, Lord. I pray for a broken heart and a contrite spirit, Lord, for that is the kind of sacrifice that you delight in. Lord, that we would not go away with just a good word, Lord, that we would go away with a God word that transforms us as we walk it out in our lives, Father. Give us the strength, strengthen our feeble knees to walk out the cross as you designed it in our individual lives, God. We need you so much. There is nothing we can do apart from you. We may think we can, but we can't. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Rain down in this place. Open our ears that we may hear from you. Open our eyes that we may see your glory. Open up our hearts to receive and our minds to understand that which you are speaking to the church today, at this moment, in this hour, Lord. Close off the enemy's whispers and lies. Close them off in the name of Jesus. And open us to hear from you. Thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful worship that Jillian has given us, Lord, that has prepared the atmosphere for your presence to fall in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jillian, so much. How about Jillian, guys? If you've been to Bible study before, you know that she is new. She is actually going to be Teresa Moore's new. This is too tall. This is too tall, isn't it? She's about to be Teresa Moore's new daughter-in-law. So hip hip hooray for them. So excited for her. She's going to be leading worship for the next couple weeks, and then she's going to get Moore'd. I think that's so funny because their last name is Moore, so they call it getting Moore'd. I was like, that's the most clever thing in the world. So she's from Minnesota, yes. So she'll be going there the last 2 weeks, but don't you worry, we're gonna have fill-in worship that's gonna be unbelievable. I'm so glad to see y'all here this morning. If you've been to my Bible study before, please raise your hand. Okay, if this is your first time, please raise your hand. Okay, those that have been here and those that are new, please go and greet those that have never been here before and welcome them because we are friendly here at Bible study. We are women that don't judge and look you up, but we are so excited for you to be here because God's got something good in store this morning. Also, if you've never been to Bible study before, you will know that CDs are offered for free. Can you believe it? You don't have to pay for anything. On the back, there is a list back there. If you're brand new, please sign up for email. I'm not going to like send emails to you all the time, but at least it keeps you in the loop of when Bible study's happening and what's going on. And especially during this season, it really helps me keep y'all informed with what's happening in Bible study. Also, did I forget anything? Oh, yes, we are GoProing it for the first time, guys. I'm telling you, we're expanding, which means it's being videotaped. So the future is to upload this on a website. Praise God, we're still praying for all those things just to fall into place. And not only will there be CDs available audibly, but because I'm so fun, people want to see sometimes what I'm doing up here, because sometimes I'll use props and I'll use situations that you don't get during just this CD. So we're GoProing it. This is our, you're kind of our guinea pigs this morning. So don't be obnoxious and speak out loud. I'm just kidding. If you feel something that you need to say, just raise your little hand. So, all right. Well, I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I can't tell you how much I have really had to be on my knees regarding this specific Bible study. This Bible study has been very hard for me to walk through because it is extremely personal in my own life. And once I begin to speak about it, you'll start to see that it'll be very personal in your own life as well. Because what we're talking about over the next 7 weeks is something that is universal in all women and in common with all women. Now, it might radiate in different ways based off of the things that we have walked through or that we haven't walked through. So sometimes things that we've gone through, struggles in our lives, situations that we have had to endure, sometimes will inflame what's already simmering underneath. But we're not going to just talk about the fruit. We're going to go to the root this morning, ladies. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the root of the issue and seeing why these things are in common. What is it that this started from, and where in the Bible do I learn about this, and what did Jesus come to do to redeem this situation? So I'm excited about this. I just pray that it just touches your heart. The name of this series is called Desired, and it's called The Inner Life of a Woman. And the reason why I felt like the Lord said to put the inner life of a woman, because this is the part we don't talk about. It's inside, but you will see it outwardly in the way you act and the direction that your body will go. And as we move on, you'll see more to that. What is it about this word that strikes such a chord in women that it literally plays a tune? I don't know about in your life, but literally it played a melody in my life. And I used to think it was sweet, like a nice melody. I used to think it was something that I wanted and I gravitated towards, and we'll look at that too. Why do we crave to be noticed, needed, and affirmed as women? Have you ever wondered that? Like, why that kind of inward thing is in us? Like, oh, like, you know, like there's a little bit of a battle in you. You know that your only need is Jesus and how he feels for you. You know, you're taught that, but somewhere down deep in you, you have this inner craving. Have you ever wanted to know where that stems from? I have. Why do women find themselves doing things for this word, going places regarding this word, thinking thoughts they never thought they would think? And I'm going to go ahead and say it, watching things that you would never say you watch regarding this word. What causes young girls and young women to enter into pornographic movies and pictures? What causes that? What sends them in that direction? There's something, because they don't just wake up one morning and say, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this. This is for me. I really want to take off all my clothes and pose. You know, there's something that starts, and a part of me thinks that the grips of desire are sometimes, the moment of the grips of desire are so much stronger sometimes than the mutilation of their mental and physical beings later. The grips of desire. Ooh, if I fall over this thing, I'm gonna move it. What causes us, the church, yes, the church, inside and out, to be part of the 100 million copies of 50 Shades of Grey to be sold worldwide? Why did women line the streets, literally line the streets around movie theaters to get in to see this movie? And come on, ladies, we're going to be real this morning. You might sit there with your thou art holy faces, but you know a part of you deep down inside was intrigued and or interested about that thing. Don't you want to know why? And you keep thinking, oh, it's so wrong, it's so gross, it's perverted. It's not love. But a part of you down deep inside was interested or intrigued and kind of wanted to know. And I'm going to tell you, the underlying cause for all of this is under one word, and it's called desired. The theme for everything I've just laid out, including all the Harlequin romances that are the number one seller at every store nationwide for women. There's an underlying theme, and it's desired. It's either some woman being desired or a woman desiring something. And there's something down deep in us that craves that thing. Desire. Desire. This whole study started and developed and began to form about 3 years ago, not as desired, but as an inner need for me to want to understand woman. This whole picture of woman. How am I supposed to be according to the scripture? What did God create me to be? How am I supposed to walk this thing out as woman? You know, because the world has showed me their version of woman. Come on. We know we see that all day long. And we try to conform to that, and it just doesn't bring peace, and it brings confusion and stress. But what was God's intention in the garden? What did he have in mind for women from the beginning of time? What was it that he had in store for me? Because I'm getting bombarded right and left, and I needed a starting place. I needed to go here, start here, like Monopoly, start on go. And I knew I could get it from the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God. The Word of God is the answer to any situation that you face in your life. It is your job to open it up, say, God, teach me, and he'll reveal his truth to you in season. So as I began to ask these questions, of course, the Holy Spirit was like, well, go to the map of all maps. That will show you where to start. So I go back to the beginning, to Genesis. And I think, where did woman begin? What was happening before woman was formed? And what happened after woman was formed? And then what happened due to sin in our life? These are all things that I began to ask. And as I began to study Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4, I get to the end of Genesis 3, and I see the word desire. And I felt like it stuck me like 1,000 knives when I heard that word. Because I knew this word well. Something in me, without even reading past it in the Bible, it stuck me. I understood this word well because ever since I could ever remember from a little girl, I had wanted this word in my life. To be desired, to be noticed, to be given attention, to be craved for. This is something that resonated in my life and I understood it so well. And I know that it's not just me here that's standing up here and saying this. I know that everyone in this room feels a little bit of a tug. A tug. Hey there. A tug in their spirit because according to scripture and the result of sin, the Bible was very specific in what God told woman. A, there would be increased pain in childbirth. And two, are we okay? Everything okay over there? Okay, I'm going to move on. And two, the word desired. You be desired. So this was spoken by God to all women through one woman, Eve. So this is, we're talking generational from the get-go, guys. This is talking like root from the get-go. This was a word that was spoken. Just like we all have to experience a little bit of discomfort in childbearing, the other thing that we have to deal with, that it's in the word, is desire, desire, desire. How did this enter the world? And if this was such an issue so many years ago, why is it still such an issue today? Why is something that happened at the beginning of time still so manifested in today's world, and we're seeing it even more than ever? I feel like we're seeing this word more than ever, and I think it's because the world has tapped into its hunger and is feeding it more than ever. The world has tapped in to the hunger of desire and is feeding it, and that's why it seems like it's more prevalent today than ever. Could you know that 50 years ago, 50 Shades of Grey would have never been a top seller? But the world and the enemy understand from the root that this is going to be an issue in women. And so now he is feeding it more than ever. Feeding it more than ever. What does the Word of God say? Well, on your paper, you'll see that it says Psalms 51:5 and Romans 5:12. Both of them say that we are born into the sin nature. We are born into the nature of sin. And we are taught right and wrong through instruction and also the consequences of sin. Come on. We learn a lot of our right and wrong through dealing with the sins that we've committed and dealing with the consequences of them. So that's how you learn, and you are instructed through teaching of people that give you that this is right and this is wrong. And then you begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit as you grow and mature, and the Holy Spirit begins to give you that inner tuition to say, don't go there, don't do that, this is wrong, don't do this. And you feel that, and you're like this. That comes, but as we are born into the sin nature, and we are born into these feelings. This is why little girls, come on, ladies. This is why little girls want to be desired. This is why they twirl around in their pretty dresses, and this is why they hold their hands up to their daddy and say, hold me, pick me up, twirl me around, because they are born into those feelings to be wanted, to be desired. And I believe also this is why the enemy attacks young girls at such a young age. I believe that's why there's so much sex trading and sex slavery and pornographic stuff, and younger, the girls are getting younger and younger and younger and younger and younger, because I really believe the enemy is targeting the girls because he wants to stop them before they know the truth on what it means to be desired and what Jesus did. Come on, ladies. He is doing everything he can to kind of infiltrate the truth and make these girls be stopped in their track and stick in that place of, this is the way it's going to be. I'm always going to have this desperate need for desire. And let's face it, our woman issues are our little girl issues. Come on. You know it. You know the things you walk out now is because of something that happened when you were young, or something that the enemy allowed to come into your life and screw things up and tried to get you to think that there was nothing more, and that you were always going to be this way, and you were always going to carry these feelings, and there was always going to be a result to this. But ladies, I've got good news. Amen for good news. Yeah. Amen. Amen for good news. The cross. Everyone say the cross. What we just had the honor of celebrating this past weekend, the cross and what it is in our lives and what it means regarding desire. Come on, Jesus did something to reverse the causes of sin and curse. This is an amazing thing. The curse is gone because of what Jesus did. But I have to have understanding in my life to walk out the cross. And to walk out what he did for me in grace, in wisdom, in healing, in restoration in my life daily. Not yearly. Daily. Because it is a daily battle for you. There are some days that I feel like I'm hanging. Literally, I wish I had a rope. A giant rope from heaven called grace. And I'm just like hanging on it. Like there are some days when this issue is so in my life that I feel like today all I can do is just cling to the grace that you gave me on Calvary regarding this issue. Because I'm having a hard time stepping forward, but I do not as heck want to step backwards. I'm hanging to it. I love the rope of grace on days when I just can't bear it or do it. I love that Jesus says, just hang on to me. Just cling to my rope of grace, and I will get you through this. Ooh, he is good. He is good. There is an answer to the way that you feel. There is an answer to your inner cravings. There is an answer to the inflammation of issues in your life. There is a root answer to all these things. And I want to go straight into the Word of God. Now, if you've come to my Bible studies, you will know that we read the Bible because we love the Bible. Thank you. Y'all did great. If you don't have your Bible, please grab some extras in the back. We don't have very many. But we have a couple of them because we get into the Word in Bible study. Hint the word Bible study. And we're going to turn to Genesis. Oh, bless you. Turn to Genesis 3:16. Now, I will say I put this scripture at the top of your outline. So if you're like, I don't have the Bible, or I have a baby in my hands, I can't do this, it's okay. All right, so when I read this scripture, I want you to realize that this is the first place where the word desire enters into mankind and into the world, okay? Before this, there was no word of desire. There was no saying that this would be an issue, okay? So starting with chapter 3, verse 16, are you ready? Thank you, one person. To the woman, he said, to the woman. You need to understand it because God is specific when he speaks to us. If it's going to be an issue regarding something individual in your life, he'll make it known to you as a single issue. To the woman, come on. Raise your hand if you're a woman in here. To the woman, he said, your desire will be for your husband. Now, I want to take you, my friend told me about this amazing app called Blue Letter. Has anyone ever heard of it? Okay, so it's called Blue Letter. Blue Letter. And what you do is it takes the scriptures and it kind of breaks it down in the Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff so you can kind of have a deeper understanding. So for you guys that really like to dig into and be a little bit of Bible scholars this morning, I'm just going to give you a heads up. It's a really cool app.
What's the name of it?
It's called Blue Letter. Just Google Blue Letter and it'll pop right up. And you can actually add it as an app if you are savvy like that. So when you break down the word husband, before I go on, we break down the word husband, it also is defined as man, mankind, or anything in contrast to God. All right? Your desire will be for your husband, and that which I just spoke, and he, and it, and he will rule over you. Ooh. That's heavy stuff, guys. I mean, that's like some heavy stuff, considering that the word rule means to exercise ultimate power and authority over your life. No wonder this is such an issue. No wonder it's such a baggage. No wonder it's not a mountain. Come on, if it was a mountain, that's okay. It's just big. It can remove. But when something has roots, it's hard to pull up. Come on, ladies. You know the tree stump is hard to pull up when it's really rooted in. This thing has roots. This thing is big in our lives. Not too big for Jesus, though. Now, I want to just clear something up real quick because there has been mention and talk that this is really the way that God intended it. Okay, so let's just talk about this. That God really intended for women to just desire to be desired and that their husbands would just rule over them. I've heard people say that this is the way it should be. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's godly. But I'm going to ask you something. Anything that's the result of sin is not of God. Anything that was done because it's the result of sin is not God, ladies. It's the enemy. And anyone to tell you anything differently is deceived. It's not of God. If that were the truth, then why did Jesus come and give his life for the curse? Come on, ladies. If it was the result of sin, it's not of God. Now God in his grace and his majesty can take our crap and change it around for good as we allow him to transform us. That is the redeeming work of the cross. But result of sin is not God's plan. Because of sin, woman was given the word desire for her husband, for man, for mankind, for anything in contrast to God. And it would exercise ultimate power and authority over her life. But wait a minute. Didn't you just say that Jesus came to redeem this in our life? I mean, didn't you say, yeah, this is a deep thing, Amanda. I get it. I see the root. I see it. It's deep. But didn't you say that Jesus came to redeem it in my life? Yes. But just like anything that the cross came to do for you, it is your job to walk it out. Come on. To claim it. To stand on it. To believe it in your life. Because Jesus is a gentleman. Yes, he offered Calvary, but he didn't force you to believe it or to live in it. He doesn't make you believe it, and he doesn't make you believe in it. It is a gift to you. You choose daily to walk it out in your life. You choose to claim it. Why? I'm going to tell you something, because this is your struggle daily. Because the enemy does everything it can to distract you from what Jesus did for you. Bottom line, the enemy does everything in its power to distract you from what Jesus did for you. And he will first do it in your mind, in your thought life, in what goes on here, because this is who we are. And then he'll try to back it up with circumstantial issues in your life. See, look at the test results. Your God's not for you. See, look at that. Your husband left you. Your God's not for you. And what you'd already been had been birthing in your brain is now coming out in here, and you're starting to believe the lie of the enemy, because he wants to do everything he can to tell you that Jesus didn't do it for you. And if you believe him, he's winning. He wants you to believe that you still walk in curse and that you have not been given grace to walk in power. Guys, do y'all understand what the cross did? It gave you power. It gave you power. It gave you power over the enemy and over death and over the grave and over these things that had such root issues in our life. It gave you power, but you have the choice to use it and to walk it out. If you came to Fall Bible Study, you remember that we talked about what's the power of what you hold in your hand, and we talked about Rahab's scarlet cord, and that was what she used to escape the fortress of sin that she was surrounded in. You have the power to use the amazing things that God has in store for you. Okay. If desire was the result of sin in our life, what was God's plan for me before sin? Come on, we're going to go real deep here. I'm super excited. I could do a cartwheel right now. I mean, I'm serious. Everything is holding me back, because I'm so excited about the redeeming power of the cross and what Jesus has done regarding this curse. I don't know about y'all, but this is life-changing for women. Because everything that we think and do about in life, if we're not pertaining to understanding in our life, is for this word desire. You can tell yourself it's other reasons, but it is all about this word desire. Why do you work out? Because you want to be desired. Yes, you want to take care of your body, but the ultimate is, you know, to get that kind of, yeah, you know? Why do we wear cute clothes? Because we want people to think that we're fun and cute. Yeah, we want to look good, you know? But inwardly, I'm telling you, this thing is a thing inside of us, right? So if desire came as a result of sin in our life, what was God's plan for me before sin? Oh my goodness, let's find out. Let's go back to Genesis 2. Go back to Genesis 2, verse 22. Is anyone learning anything this morning so far? Yes. Amen. I just love that. Genesis 2, 22. All right, here we go. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. Now, I love this, and I'm just going to slip this in. This really doesn't have anything to pertain to desire, but I really want to just slip this in because it's fun. Why would God pick the rib and not the shoe? I mean, the bone in the foot, or the elbow, or the skull, or the elbow? I mean, come on. I mean, have you ever wondered why the rib? I mean, he's... Yes, thank you. Oh, yes. Now, if you... Very good. Oh, y'all are so smart. So smart. I taught this at First Bible Study. Who here is for First Bible Study? Karen! Oh, she's so sweet. First Bible Study, I talked all about this. But for y'all that don't know, God picked the rib because the rib protects the heart, and women are called to be the heart of the home. Come on. We are the emotional part of the home. We protect the emotions. Now, the men are called to be the physical protectors of the home, but we are called to be the emotional protectors of the home. And I'm not going to go any more than that. You can just go on that on your own. But just so you know, that's why he picked the rib. Okay, so a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Okay. Nowhere do we read before sin, Adam saying anything about desiring his wife. He didn't say, "Ooh, Eve, come to Papa." I mean, I don't know. You got going on to make her feel like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to have. I'm supposed to be wanted, desired. Nowhere does it say that Adam approached Eve in that manner. What Adam did approach Eve with was with identity. Oh! Yeah. What Adam did approach Eve with before sin, and I'm telling you, if Jesus came to reverse the curse, this is how we're supposed to live. He came to her and gave her identity. And I believe that desire has taken the place of identity. So we think down deep, we want to be wanted, because that's what sin has caused us to be blinded and believe. But really, we were created to have identity. We were created to have identity, to who we really are to be. Wow. Wow. So let's just take this for like an example. So let's say that you wake up in the morning and your husband greeted you with identity instead of desire. Okay, we're just gonna play this out for a little bit. You wake up in the morning and the first thing that you hear is, "Woman, blank, your name, the meaning of your name." So let's just say woman. "Amanda, worthy of love. You are a mighty woman of God. God is going to use you in such mighty ways. He's got great things in store for you. The word of God says everything that you're supposed to live and do. Your children shall rise and call you blessed. You shall walk on water. You shall tread on scorpions and snakes, and the name of the Lord will be powerful in your breath." Come on, ladies. How would we respond and flourish to that? Now let's take the cause of sin. Now let's go back. Now let's take the cause of sin. Okay. Baby. Girl, I want some of you. Come on, ladies. Which one? What is going to make you grow? Come on, this is all, God is all about doing things in our life to produce fruit. What is going to bear fruit for an incredible day in the presence and the kingdom of God? This one or this one? Come on, this is real stuff, ladies. Wow. So really, I long down deep in me to have identity as opposed to being wanted or desiring and needing my husband or man or mankind's affirmation over me? Really? Is that what it is? Oh. I'm going to tell you something. Because of this, ladies, this is a life point right here. We look for identity in what desires us. I want you to get that. Because of this, because we have it scaled like this, we now look for our identity, because that's deep down in us too. But we look for it in what desires us. And what happens is when desire leaves, which it will always leave, we are lost and we feel empty and helpless. And we go looking for that in movies, in lovers, in books, in our kids, in our marriage, in our credit cards, in spending. We start looking for desire anyway so we can feed this thing, because we have placed our identity in that which desires us. If you do this, you will be left broken. We have so many disappointed women chasing fantasies, chasing desires. Oh, there's Bibles up there. Wow. The word of God hangs over our head. Wow. What is the solution? What is the walk out, step out of power God gave me at Calvary? I know you're waiting for your life point. You're sitting there, okay, Amina, this is all great. Oh, I'm getting it. But what is my, what do I do? Where's my starting place? Number one, are you ready? We choose to either live under the lie of curse or walk in freedom. We choose to either live under the lie that the enemy tells you, or you choose to walk in freedom. That is the beginning thing. You got to either choose to continue to walk the walk that you're walking and believe the lie of curse over your life, that you will constantly walk around with this deep desire to be desired, and your and all your emotions and all your worth is in man and in mankind. Or you can choose you this day whom you will serve, and you can pick the freedom of what the cross offered you this morning. Well, 2,000 years ago. Because like I said before, God gave you Calvary, but he didn't make you believe it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Really quickly, back to Genesis. Our only need before sin was God. Now, we're going to go somewhere with this. Before sin, if you really study this, our only need in the garden was God. In fact, God did not bring women into the garden until the garden was set in place for her. This is amazing. Look at this. He brought her into the garden. She had a spouse to procreate with. Okay? She had food. She had stars at night. She had the wind as air conditioning. She had animals to tend to her needs or whatever, or she tended their needs to do things that she needed them to do. She had everything. God had everything set in place before he even brought woman. In fact, he gave her a husband that was already walking in his gifting. Come on. You know how hard it is for a woman when your husband is iffy about what he's called to do in life. But in the garden, it was all set in place because woman flourishes when things are set in place. When we have a nice kitchen, oh, perfect drawer, everything's great. We flourish when things come together nicely and perfect in our lives. Our only need before sin was God. So if sin caused me to change my object view off of God and onto man, then what is it because of what Calvary brought? It's an object change back. It's simple. It's an object change back. It's just turning around and saying, God, you're here. This is powerful stuff, guys, because we are here chasing desire. Desire is here, and we're like, got our sneakers on, and we're running after it. Everything we do is for this thing, to get this affirmation, to get the likes that you want, to get all this stuff that you want. And God is chasing us. The cross is chasing us. And God is saying, just stop. Turn around, because desire is going to smack you in the face. All we have to do is stop, turn around, and desire is chasing us. And if you don't believe me, and it's in his word, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all testify to what Jesus came to do before he gave his ultimate gift of his life. He went into the temple, and he cleared it out, and he threw off, you know, changing tables, and he removed all the coins, and he made whips. And what that is an example of him doing that in your life. If your husband were to come home today and say, I'm going to clear this room out so I can have intimacy with you, you would think that's hot. Wow. Woo. Do you know that Jesus is doing that all the time? That's why things are a little bit haywire, and things seem to be out of place, and things are not coming together, because Jesus is in there knocking things over because he wants to be intimate with you. Come on, ladies. He's chasing you. He's moving things around in your life because he wants to clear some room in your temple, because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to be intimate with you. He's chasing us. The cross It's chasing us. Every time I feel like I need to put my running sneakers on for desire, I'll put them on and I'll be like, I'm running towards this thing. I'm running. All of a sudden, I'm reminded of what is chasing me, because what I really only need before sin is Jesus and God. And when I change my mind, it changes my life. Change your object, change your life. If you're chasing desire, it's under curse. If you're chasing after it, it's under curse. You were not created, according to Scripture, to chase it. It chases you. Amen. Come on, ladies, you are worthy of it. God gave his life for you. He loves you. He's chasing you. He wants you. And every time I think to myself regarding this thing, what are my motives? What am I doing? Am I chasing it, or is it chasing me as a result of the intimacy that I've had in Christ? To live under the grace of God's desire for you. Your identity is in God and his love for you, not in man and his response to how you should be or operate. This is like life-changing, ladies. This is life-changing. God wants to change the way you view things in your life. When you feel that lie that the enemy comes to send your way, just remember the cross is chasing you. Stop in your steps, turn around, and it's going to hit you. And this overwhelming feeling of desire is just going to pour over you, because you've allowed Jesus to come and take the place of curse in your life. And that is a powerful thing when the cross is taking the place of what it did to redeem curse. It's a powerful thing. It is written, ladies. It is written, ladies. And sometimes you need to tell the enemy, it is written that he healed me. He healed me of my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, and by his stripes, I am healed from desire. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written in his word. Tell the enemy, it is written. Now, I just want to clear up real quickly that the desire that happens between you and your husband is completely normal and natural. This is not the kind of desire that I'm talking about. The desire that's innately in us to want to be with them and to want to be with them, because that's part of God's plan for our life. And you have to remember that your husband is a representation and the shadow of Jesus Christ, right? Right? Marriages. The word of God says that my beloved is mine and his desire is for me. That's not the same kind of desire I'm talking about. I'm talking about the curse from Genesis desire. The desire that, you know, that deep down, that struggle, that fight in our lives. Oh, to have Jesus chase you instead of you chasing it. Let me tell you what, my legs were getting tired. Getting tired of running, getting tired of chasing it. No matter how I change my shoes up, and you know I like to change my shoes up, I was getting tired of it because it wasn't working, because it wasn't God's plan for me. There's something bigger. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Your understanding of this will be huge in your transformation from this place. The Bible says that people perish for lack of understanding. So just to have this understanding in your life, you might be at a place where I get it, but I'm going to need a lot of grace to walk this out. And I've been there, and I'm still there today. There are parts of me that still struggle in this area, but I'm thankful that God has shown me, and continuously every day as I choose to pick the cross, he continuously shows me how much more powerful and redeeming and fulfilling this place is, as opposed to constantly doing this in my life. As long as I'm chasing desire, how can God show me he desires me? Bottom line. If I'm constantly chasing this thing, how can he constantly catch up to me to show me what he has for me and desires for me. Ask yourself this question every day. This helped me. It will help you fight the temptation of falling under the trap of curse of desire. This is the question. What are my motives for this? Is it because I chase it for identity? Because that's ultimately what you're seeking after, ladies. Do I chase it for identity? Or is it because he first chased me and gave me identity? And the fruit of this intimacy is so overwhelming that I have to share it with other people. Because it's going to be done out of purity and out of intimacy with Christ, as opposed to curse. Whew. Let's pray. Father, no words can describe how awesome you are and how awesome the power of the cross is for where we live. There is no other way I would want to live than to be living under the power of what you did 2,000 years ago. I want to stop chasing a curse, and I want to turn around and receive your love. Father, help me to transform my mind according to the word of God that it says in Romans, to transform our mind, renewing our mind in your word, that I not be part of the pattern of this world, but I be transformed by the renewing of my mind, God. That comes by not patterning what I see the world constantly chasing. The world is constantly showing me that they chase after this thing called desire, and it makes me think that I need to get on the treadmill of the world, and all it does is just run in one place. It's just going around and around and around and around, and you're never going anywhere. There's never any place, there's no destination for it because it's a lie, and it just keeps going and going and going and going and going and chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing. But God, when we get off the treadmill of lies and we get on to the roadway of truth, God, there is places that you take us. There is direction. There are signs. There is a cross at the end of it, God, and I choose you in my life today. Father, we are a desperate woman in desperate need to hear from you. In such a hard place to live right now as women, it's harder than anything because there's so much out there trying to transform and change women. Father, help us to see with your eyes who you designed to make us in the garden. Because if you came to reverse this whole thing with the cross, I want to know how I'm supposed to live. Father, my identity is found in you and in you alone. And I thank you. I pray that this word would go out, that it would not be stolen by birds of the air, that it would not fall in places where the rocks would catch it. Lord, I pray that it would fall into the roots of their souls. Lord, that it would penetrate down deep, that it be covered, and that it would spring forth life in due season as they continue to plant their roots by the rivers of living water. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that the women would take this and walk it out in their life, Lord, that it would just not go through one ear and out the other, but Lord, that they would take it and hold on to it and live it out and say, God, there is truth in your word, and I choose to live in it. Father, I pray for peace and shalom over these women as they go out. Lord, and as they split up into their small group times, Lord, I pray for there would be times of healing. I pray that you would minister, Holy Spirit, on an individual basis this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Yes?
Can I share something?
Yes? Is it appropriate?